Welcome, folks. It's Dr. Skeleton's Art School, episode 357. You caught us live supporting women on the podcast once again. You have the Iowa shirt on.
I've only have like two Iowa shirts now, but I got an Iowa shirt on.
Nice. I should get an Iowa shirt.
I see people walking around with Iowa shirts on, and gotta say, I don't think they went to Iowa. I feel like they're breaking some of my rules.
I think you're allowed to do an alum audit. I think a citizen's audit.
Yeah. Well, I told you when I was waiting for my flight to Paris a couple weeks ago, I was in the, just waiting, I guess. And there's some probably like high school age. I know I kind of picked up over time that there's like high school age girls trip, possibly a basketball trip, possibly a sports trip, something like that. But some girl was explaining that to another girl that she's like, yeah, I would say for men's basketball, Duke is my team. For women's basketball, Iowa is my team. For football, I would say like the New England Patriots. And she's just like naming like the best teams in every sport.
I would just say favorite movie, Citizen Kane. Well, when you're in high school, I mean, what are the rules, Ben? And when you're in high school, aren't you
a free agent
a little bit?
No, you're bound to, if your parents went to college, you gotta be a fan of your parents' school or at least a local school. These are people in New Jersey or New York or whatever. Yeah. So like you can go to Iowa.
How
dude.
Interesting
I've been
of
around.
You to choose all the best teams. Yeah. No, that's annoying. No, but we are watching. This is how you get good podcasting content. I think we both have the last minute of the
If you missed the last minute and a half of the women's national championship game, boy, are you in for a treat for the next minute and a half of this podcast.
Yeah, right now the score. I mean, this is a little time capsule, right? Right now the score is Iowa 75, South Carolina 84.
It's 85 on my screen.
Uh-oh. I might be on a lag then. That's not good.
You're on a lag.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I am on a lag. I need to catch up. Oh, fuck. What's the time? 86.
Oh, wait. I'm on a lag. It's still 85 for me. What's the time really on you? Why don't you just tell me the time? That's probably the better way to count.
104, 103, 102.
Oh, it's 107 here. I'm not paying for it. Shelly just told me you should just get the YouTube TV subscription to watch this game. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. That's what I'll do. I would be paying for this game. I've got YouTube TV over here and I'm on a lag. What the hell?
Well, I'm also watching YouTube TV. But you know, as we discussed last week, the internet in Iowa is just so good that we're able to, get this. No, I'm going to pause it for a couple seconds so we can be on the same thing. All right.
You're going to pause it. I didn't even know that was an option.
Well, don't pause it now.
Well, I'm not going to pause it because I'm behind, even though it says it's live. It's a timeout at 53.5 for me.
Yeah, I'm in the same.
Let's just revise what I said a minute
ago.
You're
going to want to
if you miss the end of the game, you're not going to hear anything about the game from us, but you'll hear us figuring out if we're watching the same part of the game.
You're going to want to go ahead and fast forward about 28 minutes, and then we're gonna
probably just search what the outcome of the game was. You're not gonna figure it out.
This is the best way to go. But have you been keeping up with the season this year? It's been crazy here in Iowa. It's been crazy. Frankly, it's hawk fever over
here. My parents are messaging me and my siblings all the time about this because they've been long time. Apparently longtime women's basketball season ticket holders, which gotta say, you know, if that was an investment, I mean, it paid off, I guess, you know, I don't even know if they might be at this game. I kind of doubt it, but possible.
It's in, Cleveland, right?
Cleveland. Yeah. Okay. I looked it up. Last year I looked it up too. Cause I'm like, I'm an adult now. I've got a little bit of disposable money. Like maybe I could go see, you know, I could go see a game. And then it's like,
it's not looking good, Ben. This is,
and then
this
it's
is
like
bad.
Cleveland. Yeah, it's not good.
This isn't. Yeah, this isn't gonna happen.
Damn, this. Yeah. Sucks. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I support all these people, though. I support them. Mm-hmm. I support both teams.
You know. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Caitlin Clark walking off the hardwood for the last time as an Iowa Hawkeye. The draft is next. She's teary eyed. You can tell. She's getting hugs from the bench. She was. I mean, she legit became like a huge celebrity here. Yeah. And it was funny to see like how Iowa. I mean, like it is an endearing trait about Iowa how like happy we'll get about people of note from here. I think it's probably one of the nicer things about it, about the state. But the kind of celebrity status that she's achieved has been remarkable, I should say. All right, congratulations to the South Carolina Gamecocks. That's it. Final score: Iowa 75, South Carolina 87.
Over here, I got 10 seconds left.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
I even paused it for you, bro.
Yeah, dude. And right. 1-0.
Wait, did yours, and they won on yours?
They won. We found the Hawks won over here, dude. Uh-huh. YouTube TV. It's worth it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
that's okay. I'll switch on my iPad. I'm going to switch over to, I'll be watching the Houston Roughnecks at DC Defenders, and we'll be commenting on that for the remainder of the show.
Okay. You know what? Do you know how expensive YouTube TV is? TV is, dude. Why would anybody, if you're going to watch live TV all the time, why would you not just invest in figuring out how to pirate it? It is like $80 a month.
Holy shit. No, I'm mooching off my parents. Okay. I think it's a good service as far as services go. It's a good experience. It's like it's easy to watch, but like, yeah, I would not pay for it if it was the last thing there was to pay for.
I mean, it's just all these things are. I mean, it's the same stupid value prop, which is like you can watch everything here, and then inevitably you cannot.
I still can't. I still don't. The MLB blackouts is some of the craziest shit I've ever.
Yeah.
Experienced, and
it should be a blackout like nowhere, but if you were going to do it, it's got to be in like the city where the team plays, because the whole point is that they want you to go to the games. It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just drive from Des Moines.
Is that the point?
Chicago,
I can't even figure out what the point is. It seems to be, I thought it was like you have to buy cable specifically in the city or in the region to get it.
Oh, like, well, sometimes they won't. Maybe we're talking about different kinds of blackouts, but I know one of the types of blackouts is that you can't watch the local team because they want you to go to the game instead.
That's what, gotcha. I thought it was, I just assumed there was some like contract involved, some better deal or something that somebody called. That's so crazy then, because the teams that I can't watch as somebody in central Iowa is so crazy. Like they want me to go to, I can't watch like the Twins or the Royals. Like, oh yeah, let me just, if I want to watch a Royals game, let me drive 6 hours to Kansas City or 8 hours to Minnesota or to Minneapolis for a Twins game. That's stupid.
Very, very stupid. But you know what's even better? Have you seen the new stuff where it's like the NFL is teaming with, I'm just gonna say foreign countries. They're not teaming with foreign countries, but they're teaming with broadcasters in foreign countries. So like now, like the Browns are like the local channel of like Kenya or whatever.
Yes, my cousin's husband works for the Patriots as their as a like on their German feet on the ground, boots on the ground, like whatever. Like they've claimed Germany.
Does he work live in Germany?
No, but he speaks. He lives in Boston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's the
but he'll
on
like
the
go to
guy.
With he'll go to all the games and do like German language, social media stuff.
Oh, okay. You're making hand signals, so I thought you were gonna say German sign language or something too, which is another.
I was miming like use it. Whoa.
I got whoa. The, Slack the thinks Mac you're OS miming reject. Fireworks or something.
Yeah, no, I was miming SMS messaging on the mobile computer.
Oh, so he tweets at German people.
Yeah, I think like, so. I'm not really sure. I think he does like TikToks or something or Reels.
De.
I don't know. Seems pretty cool.
Okay. Is he excited? German people don't seem like they'd be like into, stereotypically, don't seem like they would be into like, you know, quirked out TikTok stuff, you know?
Oh, he's not
they
doing that. It's more like stern. It's like behind the scenes stuff. It's like, oh, here's the team like getting onto the plane. You know, he's not doing like, and dancing or something. Like, I.
Hey Berlin, do the Patriots dance with me.
Yeah. Today. No. It is yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems to be a fairly successful I think Europe likes American football. It seems like the games that go on over there.
It's just the like picking other countries, you know.
I wonder how that goes. Like how do you choose? Like how come yeah. The Browns got Nigeria.
Ghana gets the Jaguars or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what? Yeah.
Best of luck to all involved, though, frankly.
Yep.
We had... I can't wait to tell you the story. we had some friends over yesterday with... and they've got kids. There were a bunch of kids in the house. There was... the relevant children's ages. We had like a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 9-year-old. I think are the relevant kids' ages. Mm-hmm. And you know, we were hosting and hanging out and stuff. And I got permission from Zoe to share this story, but she tried to make conversation with the 5-year-old. And how she did it was she went to the 5-year-old and she says, "Hey, name, how's it going? Do you have any secrets?" And yeah. The 5-year-old says, "We don't keep secrets." and Zoe's immediately like, "That's good, 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 good. All right, no keeping secrets. That's good. You shouldn't keep secrets. Secrets are bad." And then, like, the 8-year-old, like, hears and is like, "Oh, I know 9-year-old secret." And so he's like, no. And then, like, tells the 9-year-old secret. And it was just so good to flub the interaction like that. Nice. And I can't wait for, like, the report back to, like, "Zoe was telling me to keep secrets or something. Zoe, you know,
Zoe
told me not to tell anybody.
Tell us all these secrets." Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so what was this 9-year-old's secret? Let's roast him.
Zoe kept the secret. From you? Yeah, from me. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know the 9-year-old secret.
I would be owning those 9-year-olds right now if I knew their secrets. I'd be saying, get a load of what this idiot thinks.
No, loose lips sink ships. We don't have secrets, but if you do have secrets, you keep them, right? Or no? Maybe that's bad.
I don't actually. Yeah, don't really know.
What are you supposed to tell kids about secrets?
Also, for want of a better word, I would like to know the political alignment of keeping secrets versus not keeping secrets, because everything today has a political alignment for some
reason. Is it woke to
bizarre
keep
reason.
Secrets?
Is it woke to keep secrets
or
not?
Is it
yes.
based?
Someone has to, yeah, someone has to claim it and then we'll all know where we fall. But I'm wondering.
Oh, here. Yeah. Okay. We know. Well, can we figure this out? Secrets are no fun. Secrets hurt everyone. We know that. And hurting everyone.
Before,
is that woke or based? Oh, gotcha.
Hurting everyone. Well, because you know, because you can always spin something as woke or trad as well, right? So is keeping is keeping secrets the trad thing?
How about this? I think here's a model that you can map onto this. The communists want to take your secrets. You can't keep your secrets.
Sure,
there are no secrets under in a communist future. If you like your secrets, you can keep them. One of those.
Sure. a serious point, a real point, okay, thing. Conservative people don't like, they what's the thing? I don't even know how to describe it other than like, if their kid tells their teacher that they're gay, they want the teacher to rat on the kid to the parents.
That's true.
So that seems being pro telling secret, not keeping secrets.
Or anti-secret.
Anti-secret.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We dealt with that here in town. It was a big deal. Mike Pence was super invested for some reason in the Linmar High School policy.
Really?
Here in Cedar Rapids, yeah, for that exact policy of we're gonna respect your pronouns when you're here, and that was like a big problem.
Tell me what my kids' pronouns are. Interesting. Okay. I'm very torn on the alignment, but okay, it's for another day. Maybe I should have shown up and said, "Let's, folks. What about secrets in general? What are you guys feeling about that at school?
Secrecy. Yeah, I have a hard time. It doesn't scream one way or the other. Maybe it's the first bipartisan issue that we can really
get behind.
Move this country forward. You need to tell me what you are talking about when you said you have more to say about October Sky.
Oh, yes. Forgot. I've learned. I think this has kind of been making the small rounds. I guess it depends on whose rounds you're on. Who does rounds for you? You may or may not have been part of the rounds that this made it to. So it might be less interesting now. But I've seen this, another way I could put it, another metaphor, bubbling up. We've talked about October Sky a lot between ourselves. Actually, I haven't talked about it that much, but we've referred to it. We've never really done
it in a long time. This is one of the main podcast lore, entries, though. Like this is absolutely a Hall of Fame.
It's a personal lore thing for us as well. Yeah, yeah. October Sky, the Jake. I actually don't know who the director is. Who's the director? But it's got Jake Gyllenhaal. It's got the really good actor guy, character actor guy. That's the dad.
Yeah, Chris Cooper. It's directed by Joe Johnston. And it's got Jake Gyllenhaal, Laura Dern, and Chris Cooper.
Wait, it's got Chris Cooper. That's not who I was thinking of.
Oh.
Who's the other guy that's kind of like Chris Cooper?
Who else is in this?
I gotta know this. I gotta know.
Who does he play?
He's, I'm trying to place him in anything now. I can't.
Well, who is he in this movie?
I don't know if he's in this movie. But I thought he was Chris Cooper's character. No, I feel like he's in October Sky. Just a second, I gotta look this up. October Sky. I don't think he's in this movie. I did not remember that Laura Dern was in this movie. No, he's got a weird name. Oh, okay, sorry. He's in first season of he's the preacher pastor guy in the first season of True Detective. What's that guy's name?
Shea Whigham's
not the dad
one
in this.
Scene champ.
Yeah, in that. Shea Whigham. Okay. I thought he was the dad in this. Okay, but yeah, it's Chris Cooper. Now that you
not
said that,
dissimilar face. They should team up.
They got a similar style. Yeah. Well, they could just tag team kind of a character if that was ever a need.
There's like
a
significant age difference, I think, at this point. At this point, and at all previous points. Anyway, we're getting off track. I need to know.
October Sky. Well, we got to explain it for people. Okay, October Sky, Jake Gyllenhaal movie thing based on a real story, I think. It is. Okay. I'm pretty sure. It's based on a book, and I'm pretty sure the book's based on a real story. So there we go. And it's about some high school guys in like West Virginia or whatever, and they're, you know, coal mining town and family, and you know, I would say the odds are against them in terms of doing something, you know, let's say bigger than becoming coal miners themselves someday. And
it's working class yearns to be
approximately, it's that era of space travel that we all know, which is probably in the 60s or 70s. But we all know it, and so we don't have to say which one it is, but it'd be either the 60s or the 70s, space race style. And these guys get into making homemade rockets and stuff like that, and whatever, get a lot of attention.
And nowadays, you make homemade rockets, you get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Because of woke.
But if you make a clock, you get to go to the White House. Whatever happened to that guy, I wonder.
He went to the White House and was he was neutralized with extreme prejudice.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's the movie. Thing I never really, which makes sense when as soon as it was like pointed out, but never really thought about it. Do you recall the space guy, put a, not an astronaut, but a space guy that they meet.
Alien, meets, Martian.
Meet later in the movie and shake his hand. And he's sort of the guy that they look up to and that Jake Gyllenhaal has like a signed photograph of on his wall. Don't look this up. Just ask yourself, do you know the answer?
I don't remember. I watched this like in 2002 and never again.
Would it surprise you to learn that, or to just be reminded of, the fact that Jake Gyllenhaal and his, you know, coal mining town buddies, whatever, in this feel-good movie, their idol is a famous space guy / Nazi scientist Wernher von Braun.
Gotcha.
That's all I was building up to. Just
gotcha. The non-swaggy whites are at it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think he was a hero to many over the course of the 20th century.
Yeah. I just kind of never noticed that aspect, I guess. Never really thought about it. Because I, too, haven't seen it in quite a while. And I was also always previously, as I think we've spoken about, watching it under duress for some reason.
It's still the biggest mystery of the show. This is basically a 400 episode podcast series, like trying to like color around the fill in the negative space around the reason why your family made you watch this movie over and over again. Eventually, we'll figure it out.
Oh, but especially before my grandfather retired,
died. You know what? I thought like you were building up to was that you had that like. You just never realized that, like, yeah, that was your grandpa in that role as a cameo or something. But no.
Nope.
Still no connection.
Wernher von Braun. Hmm. Yeah, still no connection to my family. I just thought that was, interesting.
Yeah.
They just don't really... I mean, you're right that he was a hero to a lot of people, but it's... I don't know. The movie's not that old.
By 99, you probably could have swapped in a different character or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's that Apple show that people like a lot, For All Mankind, that is like an alternative history. If the Russians won the space race kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there's like a reckoning of Wernher von Braun.
They probably kill him or something. I don't know how that would happen, but
no, they Oppenheimer his ass. They do like a public trial and stuff. Which, you know what? Frankly, I might have been happening part of it. Did that happen in real life? I don't know. But it's an interesting show. Okay. We watched the first season.
Interesting. What is the... I don't understand how if the Russians won the space race, why does that mean that they... Did they come to control America or something too?
No, it's actually pretty interesting the way that they like... It's not like a crazy sci-fi like Man in the High Castle kind of thing where it's just more so like, that you know they were doing everything. They didn't really care about the sordid past. They just wanted to win the space race. And since they pulled it off in real life, like, yeah, we then you're a hero and we won't look into your, it's fine. But like, since we lost, now we're gonna, like, you know, examine all of this and a scapegoat partially to, like, for losing kind of thing. And we found a Nazi that we can pin it on, that, or something like that.
Interesting. Okay.
And I think the show, like, goes on for, or it covers, like, up until, like, the future, you know, or like past, you know, where we are now, time jumps or something. But
oh, okay.
We only saw the first season.
I think I pitched this before, but my having not seen that, having not seen The Man in the High Castle, but my I think I've made my plea before for what I'm going to call incidental alternative history, where you've got, like, a major alternative history that you're imagining, but then you're just watching, like, a movie that sort of only incidentally happens in that history. So you got, like, a big thing going on in the background, but, you know, you got, like, a Man in the High Castle type situation, but then it's like a baseball movie, and it's like today, right. If the Axis had won and they did, the Japan took over the West Coast, you know, maybe, like, Shohei Ohtani would be, like, a white guy, you know, the Shohei Ohtani of MLB today would be, like, a white guy.
Mm-hmm. he's embroiled. Picking this
up. He's embroiled in what?
In a gambling scandal.
Oh, actually, I think I've heard about this. It was like his interpreter was gambling or something.
I think all the facts have yet to come out. Okay.
Well, we can imagine them then.
Yeah, so I think that this is where we come in.
Yeah.
kind of the fun space for us to play around.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, something to do with the interpreter being super deep in debt with, you know, like, various sports books or a particular sports book. And, like, how come you can let a guy who makes just, like, an interpreter salary get into hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt? Why would you keep letting him gamble like that, unless he had, you know, was able to be passing along, you know, privileged information about the state of, you know, is maybe he knows that Ohtani gets hurt before others, or, you know, things like that, before it gets out in the news, so you can affect odds that way. Or, like, was he, you know, covering his debts, or, you know, things like that. And it seems like the story has changed a number of times as well. So I don't know what the current state of things is. I think my information is probably a couple weeks out of date at this point.
That's another, you know, lore thing that overlaps with me. Another movie that has deeply had a deep impact on my past. The Interpreter, Sean Penn and Nicole Kidman movie.
Yeah.
The Interpreter, that once inspired me to have my current career as a security guard at the United Nations building.
That's right.
Yeah. But I could have, The Interpreter too, the Shohei Ohtani Interpreter, that could have easily inspired me to become
the reinterpreter.
Yeah. I've become kind of a Wolf of Wall Street type character, but an interpreter instead of, like, a Wall Street guy.
Yeah.
I'm just controlling the world by being the only man who speaks both Japanese and English.
The only one who's able to control the flow of information.
I'm a sort of a new Seinfeld Newman type, you know. Newman's thing was the male. And, like, me, yeah. The man who controls interpretation controls, you know, the world, which is probably kind of true.
Isn't that a Dune-ism originally?
Is it?
If you control the spice, you control the universe.
Sure.
Yeah.
That actually reminds me. Sorry, gotta keep going down this train of thought. Dune, spices, spice. How do they know they're not just snorting sand?
What?
How do you split up the sand from the spice? Because to me, it's like if you just took a bunch of sand, if you took a bunch of like cocaine or some other drug that I don't really know much about, but that seems like a powder to me, and you just went out into the desert, but let's say you had a ton of cocaine, but you went out into the desert, even in a small area, and you dumped that in the sand.
Yeah.
You just let it blow around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a hard time. You know, you'd be like, I'm sitting on a gold mine of cocaine here, but
I shouldn't have dumped it in this sand.
I should have dumped it.
How are you gonna thinking?
You got to, you know, separate it or whatever.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like the spice, it seems like it's just the sand is the other thing too.
Colloidal spice. Yeah.
So what do they, how do they split it up? I feel like you'd just be sucking up.
Are you
sand
asking like,
are
you using a sieve in there? You got a big sieve?
I'm just imagining, I mean, I know it's because I don't know how Dune works, as always, but I'm imagining somebody doing like a bump of spice off of the sand, and you're just, half of it is sand.
At no point is it ever implied that that's how people use the spice. As far as I know, I don't think that they were like...
I would say it's implied their eyes turn blue.
They're not doing that. It's because they live out there, and it's like, okay, so if you dumped a bunch of cocaine out,
I guess
the
that's
sand,
true.
And if you live out in the desert and it stands blowing around a lot, you just like it's like particulates that you're breathing in and stuff, and some of those particulates
will be cocaine.
Cocaine or spice, whatever it is, and so that's. That's how that happens. And then the big machines that come and refine it. I don't know what...
But now I'm imagining like a
what
smoker...
What machines they have inside.
Now I'm imagining like a smoker's lung, too. Where like...
Spice
you
lung.
Might be getting high on spice. But for every, you know...
They're not, okay.
Level of getting high on spice, that's another level of just ruining your lungs with sand.
Yeah. I don't think they're like smoking... You know what we do? We do see how the worm eats it and process it somehow internally, organically, right? And then they like extract it from the worm, right, to get the water of life. Like that's straight
the
up
blue stuff. Yeah, that's true. I didn't really make that connection before, but yeah, okay.
That'll get you.
I feel like the worm shouldn't be opening its mouth when it's under sand.
That has confused me. Yes. Is the worm
sand.
Just eating a bunch of sand all the time?
Yeah,
I guess so.
You know, we made fun of him before, but I feel like if we had Neil deGrasse Tyson on, he would be able to help us answer these questions. We could also alternatively read the book, but I don't want to do that. That's a lot of stuff, pages I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
But okay.
I have been annoyed by some of the Dune discourse on Twitter, where people are like, oh, can't wait for casual fans of the casual Dune movie fans to get to Dune Messiah and realize what kind of mess they're in, or like this series don't play around, that level of that kind of thing.
Folks, I haven't been following the series. I didn't follow the other two movies, so I'm not expecting to follow anything about this third one. I don't know what that means. Do you know what happens in Dune Messiah?
Vaguely. I mean, Zoe's read them, and she's told me about how some of this stuff goes. And also, like, you can just go read the Wikipedia, which I have done, so I do know. And, I think they're just talking about how Paul... is taking a major villain turn, which is just like a major obvious point of the second movie already.
Yeah, he was pretty, seemed like a weirdo already. Yeah, yeah, with the whole
people
like,
assume that like you just like just wait till you see him go evil. But yeah, I don't know, it bugs me. I really got to get off Twitter, dude. It's like, well, I'm just looking at 19.
Why do they call
calls.
It Dune? I don't like. Are they gonna put 3 in the title?
I don't think so. I think it'll just be Dune Messiah.
So you're going to have Dune. And then you're going to have Dune. I'm making a sarcastic face at Denis Villeneuve right now. You're going to have Dune, and then you're going to have Dune 2, and then you're going to have Dune Messiah. I think you should pick how you're going to use the numbers.
To be clear, now I get to be Neil deGrasse Tyson about this, but that's not what we have. We have
Dune Part
2. So we have the first book is called Dune. The second book is called Dune Messiah. And what we have is in the movie world is Dune Part 1. It's called Dune Part 1.
Okay.
And then there's Dune
Part
2.
Wait, is it called Part 1?
It is.
I thought it was just called Dune.
Nope, it's called Dune Part 1.
Okay. I'll believe you.
It's in the movie, like the title card shows up and it's like Dune Part 1.
Dune. Okay. Okay.
And then you get Dune Part 2. And so like that's completed the first book.
Okay, I see.
Is Dune Messiah.
Yes. Wikipedia says Dune, and then in parentheses titled on screen as Dune Part 1. Okay. Good. Well done. Mm-hmm. Mr. Denny.
And at no point have any of the sequels been greenlit, so I can see why. I think that it was ballsy on his point to like put it on screen as Part 1, you know, to imply there'd be further parts coming. But yeah,
done.
Dune's got the staying power. We're slowly getting every second of it turned into a Twitter reaction image now, and so. That's been fun to see.
Sure. I've learned the guy's name finally. I watched a couple of his other movies recently too. I mean, I watched Arrival finally. People like that.
What'd
I
you
saw
think of
that. It was okay. It was okay.
Yeah. I think it's one
Not
of his weaker ones, but I like it.
Yeah. It seems like people really like it, but yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's good. It's a good little science fiction thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good little student film. It's not as good as one of my films.
Yeah. Yeah, I could, you know, you can see something's there. You know, I'm excited to see where this guy goes.
It's promising work.
Yeah. I like Amy Adams, but she does not take good role. That's like maybe like the first role that I really like her in.
Really?
I think, or I don't know, like I'm trying to think of other good Amy Adams movies. It feels like
The Meister. I don't know why I decided to say it like that, but The Master.
Oh yeah, that's right. Like they tried to say The Maestro. Okay.
The Meister. We call.
That's a good one. I like her in that.
Maestro. Yeah. I mean, I don't like Amy Adams. She's definitely Mark Ruffalo material in that respect. Put them in the same category. Probably
is that just people
top,
you don't like.
Yes. No offense to them personally. I mean, I know it is. It's definitely offensive.
Yeah, it's
especially
very
coming from
impolite.
A big name like me. but I don't like seeing those people on screen. I wish they'd find a different career. I feel bad. They should get like a...
Yeah, you should find a different way of phrasing that.
They should get like a pension or something. But
I mean, they're probably good.
I want people to not... Yeah. I just don't want them to... I don't want them to feel bad personally, but I don't want them to ever be in another movie again.
In case my filmmaking career really takes off, I'm going to have to vehemently disagree and say...
you're gonna have
both of you are welcome
people
on my set any day of the week. I'm magnanimously offering a place for you. We'll play good cop bad cop, and then so I can secure Mark Ruffalo and Amy Adams for my next project.
Okay, well I'm if I'm the good cop and you're the bad cop or whatever it is,
not when I'm
means you have to be the opposite of me, so I will say Mr. Jeremy Renner, I respect you and all of your goofy ways, but I respect you. Unlike my partner, Will, who the implication is he does not respect you. So good luck, Will, with your film career and not having Jeremy Renner being part of it.
Yeah, I would say, why don't you get out there on the slopes again, buddy?
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
get run over by a snowmobile or something.
Is that what happened?
Like grievously injured last year to like the point where he was very near death. It's been good, pretty good taste for me to make a joke like that. No, best of luck to all involved, frankly. Once again,
Forrest Whitaker though, love to see him.
Not personally, but yeah, love. He's great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
he's a guy that you love to see.
Ghost Dog is still the best.
I gotta see it. Gotta
Forrest
see it.
Whitaker movie, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been watching a ton of movies. We're most of the way through a heist documentary movie sort of thing. American Animals seems to be an interesting
Hannibal? No. Or Animals?
Animals. American Animals.
American Animals. Okay. That doesn't sound like a heist movie, but okay.
All right.
I would have been tricked.
Charles Darwin.
I would have been tricked. Yeah. Watch. What the hell? This is not a heist. This is not an animal movie, or is it an animal heist?
It's a group of college students who are stealing a valuable book of paintings of birds from their college library.
Oh, okay. What library?
I think they're in Kentucky.
Ooh, okay.
So like a, I think some of them are University of Kentucky students, and some of them I think that it's at like a private school in town though.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Huh. At University of Transylvania.
Oh, sounds fake, but okay. This is a Charles Darwin book.
Transylvania University.
It's a Darwin little notepad or something.
So it's. The title comes from a Charles Darwin quote that they just put at the beginning of it.
Oh.
I just look.
What was the quote? Hey, check out these.
It's got
American
that Barry
animals.
Keoghan guy in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so it's a really interesting form of it because it's mostly a drama of just like the story of it happening, but there's also interviews with the real people involved, and like the four like main conspirators of this heist, and they're like integrated into it. Like they'll like hang out on they'll like put the guy in the car to like they'll occasionally like swap the actor out in for the real person in scenes. Mm. And they'll talk. It's a very interesting form of it that I'm enjoying.
Okay, interesting. Wait, so is it like it's not like a The Thin Blue Line.
No. I mean, kind of, in that there's like reenactments. Yeah, but it's like mostly the story of, it's mostly like a heist film, like a fictional heist film or a dramatic heist film.
It's a long thing because you're only mostly.
Or it's a feature film. It's 2 hour.
Oh, okay. It's not that long. You just broke it up because.
Yeah, it was bedtime.
Yeah. Bedtime. Yeah. Okay. Just double check.
Yeah.
Interesting. How are you going to see this Monkey Man movie?
I would like to.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh,
Dev Patel, you're still on Will's list, just so you know. Unlike Jeremy Renner, he hasn't completely dissed you yet.
Yeah. When we come to New York or New Jersey later this summer, we got to pick what movie we're gonna go see in like a IMAX capacity or something, or like a good ass screen
at Lincoln Center.
Is that the Lincoln place to go Square. See a big,
well,
big
it's
summer
the only
blockbuster?
It's the only IMAX thing I can think of, but okay. Maybe, yeah,
yeah,
we can look into it. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, I mostly go to the theaters here in New Jersey because, like, whatever. I'm not gonna go to the city every single time I want to see a movie, but mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I think the Ape movie will be out by then.
Planet of the Apes,
yeah,
style movie. Yeah, okay.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. That was the only one that seemed like it could make sense to go see, but we could look at the
maybe it'll be something else. Yeah. As well. Interesting. Okay, I'm looking to see if there's anything else that's good that's happened, but I don't think so.
Anything good that happened, probably
in all time. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they're re-releasing Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace.
I mean, they're re-releasing movies all the time, and I gotta say, they need to have an AMC MoviePass thing where you get to see all the re-release movies too. They love to make you pay
money. Oh, you can't?
No. Basically, all the re-release things you got to pay extra money for, which sucks because there's a lot of good ones. I would definitely want to go see. I got like Gone with the Wind that's coming out, or it is out right now, you know? Stuff like that. That's not the best example, but like
it's a
prototypical example.
We could see the new Yorgos. Yeah, I am looking forward to seeing that. Everyone that has been I've been annoyed by the people talking about that movie so far. And I haven't seen it, but people are being so annoying about it. Cause like there's this, I don't know, it's a movie like a near future with a civil war breaks out, and like there's this map of the US that has been used in promotional material that shows like which how the country divides up. And let's see. Okay, we've got the Western forces, which is the northern states from Minnesota westward, and also including, God, is that Utah? And then there's the Republic of California, the Second Republic of Texas, and the Florida Alliance. And there's separately the Loyalist states. And it's funny to be online and be like, imagining Oklahoma joining the Florida Alliance? Come on. Or, you know, something like that. And I don't know. I don't think that's what the movie's about. I think like it's supposed to be whatever. I don't know. I have to watch it first. But people are being like, that's a very incurious mind to me. It'd be like, that's not who those states would align with. This is gonna be a bad movie. That's
is there a, is there a, it's a civil war, but it's not like Godzilla, right? I don't know why that's in my mind, but I just imagine that it's going that every time I see the trailer at like a theater, I just think, oh, and then there's gonna be like Godzilla.
I think what is happening is or like what the movie does is like super specifically or like very deliberately does not get into any of the issues or like why it kicks off or things like that. I think it's like you're in it and
so Godzilla's just in the background.
Maybe. Yeah. And yeah. I don't think it's like a like I think that like you can I think the easy move with something like that, and again, I still haven't seen it, but I read a really good review by like a critic that I really like, Sidhant Atlaka, and he was talking about how like the easy move you can make in something like this is like to just do the classic like, oh, centrism is fascism, and like this guy doesn't always talk about, don't let British people make movies about the United States, something like that. But he makes a point where like what this movie does is treats the United States the way that Hollywood has treated, you know, like the Middle East in movies like all of cinema. We're like, it's just like ambiguously conflict, right? And then it's just like kind of this like filter of, oh, there are factions. And then you have characters navigate through it. And that his argument is that like it actually has a very interesting it plays with that interestingly. Again, I haven't seen it. But the writer, Alex Garland, and director, I like his stuff a lot. So I'm willing to hold open the case that it could be good.
Okay.
Instead of being like, Iowa would never team up with Nevada.
Nevada
and Maine.
Okay, interesting. I've seen the map thing. I didn't really follow. I'm not into the
map stuff. You are appropriately not giving Twitter too much brain space, unlike me.
I am. I'm just focused on other things, probably.
What kind of things are you focused on? What's going on?
Oh, I don't know. I don't actually have a good example. Just nonsense. Probably just, you know, some nonsense stuff or some extremely serious stuff. Like, I don't even know. Godzilla. I'll just say Godzilla.
Yeah, you're heavily invested in the big three rap beef.
Oh yeah, you told me about that. No, I was gonna say I'm probably on Twitter more likely to be. I'm the guy that goes around and finds like a lobby, like deviant art style artwork that people repost and says, give the artist some fucking credit under every single post. And I just start beefs between unknown, you know, Tumblr artists or whatever, you know.
That's good. It's
XYZ 123 is fucking stealing, Monkey Man 5's artwork again and not posting it without credit. And it got 100 likes that need to be donated back to.
You're so hateful. Whatever. You did get your shit rocked this week, though.
I did.
I understand.
Oh, yeah, I did. I'm a survivor.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Bong Bong is too. Shelly somehow evaded it. I don't really understand.
Oh, nice.
Now.
She's just.
Shelly literally went to.
Swayed in tune with the earth.
She took off Friday when it happened. Wait, was it Friday? Now I can't remember.
I think so, yeah.
Friday. Wow, it's only been 2 days. It feels like a lifetime of PTSD.
There was before 4.8 and after 4.8.
She went with her, because she took the day off and then went with some of her friends to go to a, I don't know what you call it, not an art shop, a place where they sell like bowls, flatware and tableware and plates and bowls and stuff like that, like handmade things, whatever. I'll just call it a China shop because it's basically that's what it is in my mind. And somehow they didn't feel it. They were there. I was waiting for her
this
to come back.
Like the spot to.
I know.
Like,
I was waiting for her to come back and be like, have like the
I went
best
to the China shop during an earthquake.
Yeah, like to have the nothing. Best story about how like, oh yeah, like $1 million in plates just immediately smashed all around us. And she's like, we didn't feel anything. She's like, we had no idea it happened until we got.
Did they just drive? Did they just happen to drive the other side of the tectonic plate or something? Just like right outside the zone?
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
I will say though, it was actually it was kind of scary. It was scary. It like, you know, when people say like your heart jumps or your whatever, your stomach goes through the roof of your mouth. I guess that's not what they say.
That what happens?
I don't know how they say that. But you know, like you like. Feel it.
Ooh, whoa. Yeah.
It was weird because you don't know what's going on either. Like it just starts shaking and like my first thought is like in the first like tenth of a second, my thought is like, oh, it's a big moving truck going down the road, you know? The house starts to rumble or whatever. And then it starts getting bigger and bigger. And then like my mind shifts to like, oh, I think the moving truck just like crashed into my neighbor's house. And then it's like, oh, I think it like really crashed and like their house is falling and like my house is going to fall down. Or
what? Did they
like
order
that.
An earthquake? Yeah.
I mean, really? It genuinely, earthquake did not come to mind until a couple seconds later, I guess. I don't know.
I didn't know that you could have earthquakes out there, to be
didn't
honest.
Didn't either. I mean, that seems to be the main reaction from people. Apparently there's a fault line that just goes right through New Jersey or something, but. Seems like we've had it under control for a while. Somebody at the earthquake
factory.
Yeah,
stitch that shit back up.
Off their game, yeah. But Bombong started, like, somebody asked me later on, and I realized, or I learned later on, that sometimes dogs, like, sense it before humans do. Didn't seem to be the case, but, like, as soon as the house started shaking, she did bark. Like, she was scared. And I went into a dog dad mode and I yelled
quiet,
for
quiet
Bong
Bong. Quiet
quiet quiet
shut up
I yelled for Bong Bong to come to me and we ran at each other across the house and I grabbed her and I picked her up.
You held her
and I held her and saved her life. I saved her life.
Hey,
yeah, but it was weird. And then we like went out kind of. I like looked out one of the windows and I saw some people coming out of their house and they looked a little surprised because I was in like still unsure, like was this just a me thing, was this just our house or was it an actual earthquake? And then went out the front door and like a bunch of other like, you know, older guys are also, they've also just like walked out the front door, like hands clasped behind their back, just kind of looking around, you know?
No one wants to be the first to acknowledge that.
Was there an earthquake? Yeah. Everyone's just all trying to play it cool. Like, we might all just be...
I'm fine, but.
Yeah.
How about you?
And we're all like kind of like looking up in the sky and like looking, turn around back at the house. And none of us said anything to each other again, you know? Just
nice.
It's kind of like, I know what's happening. I'm just inspecting.
Testing you all.
I definitely understand what just happened. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then came back inside and I searched. I mean, like only like a minute's passed in this entire story so far. And then like probably less than a minute. And then come back inside and like Google, like literally just Googled like earthquake.
Why?
And there's nothing. And then I remember, oh yeah, it's 2024. I should have been doing this for a long time. Go to Twitter and search earthquake. And then it's the first couple responses coming through like, was there just an earthquake? Did anybody feel that thing? Was that an earthquake? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, good. And then like refresh and see like the top trending topic thing is like earthquake. And then I'm like, okay, cool. Now I can act. Oh, I also sometime in that period, I pinged the New York, New Jersey channel on Slack at work and was like, did you guys just feel something? And then another guy responded. He's like, yeah, I think it might have been an earthquake. And then we were like a minute later, like, yeah, I think it was an earthquake. Interesting.
Damn.
Yeah. So
interesting. Yeah. Anyway. I didn't know how severe it was around you. Like it was just going to be like a barely perceptible rumble or a thunderclap or yeah. That sounds like
the epicenter is like a couple miles from us. So it's like right.
You got pretty strong. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the New Jersey earthquake, mind you. It's not the New York earthquake. Definitely not the Pennsylvania one. This is the New Jersey earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah, no problem. But I have PTSD. So you can congratulate me and thank you me for my service.
Uh-huh.
And my dog too. Bama was scared actually. Bama was like actually shaking for like an hour or so.
Does this freak you out? But...
yes. I'm
shaking my laptop.
You're giving me PTSD. Yeah. My mom was shaking. No, she wasn't. She wasn't
I'm
scared.
Sorry about
she was just doing. She was just doing the surfer guy thing. She was just going, whoa, just trying to tease me.
Surf's
for
up, dude.
Surf's
whoa.
Up. Whoa. Yeah. No, she. Yeah, she was actually pretty scared. For a while.
I bet. That's Riki.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our dogs don't get scared unless it's something that's completely, like, no idea what it is. It's just, like, like, Marty will just, like, be acting weird. It's like, all right, he's chosen to be scared.
Presumably an earthquake would fall into that category, though, don't you think? Or do you not think so for them?
If they would be scared if an earthquake happened?
Yeah.
I bet Nora would get scared.
Sure. What would it take, Marty? Somebody actually crashing through your house? A dump truck crashing through your house?
He'll choose whatever the things that he is scared of. It really could just be ghosts.
okay.
But like normal stuff that would scare a dog, like thunder, nothing. No, they do not care. I don't know.
Interesting. Nice. Okay. Yeah. Also got the people at work and online that were immediately like, this happens in California every day. Gotta stop you right there. Don't fucking care. California sucks. It doesn't matter. It's happened here. Shut up.
I wonder, let's see. Right now, my impression is that earthquake's not gonna hit us here in Iowa, but
there was when we were in high school. There was an earthquake in Cedar Falls, which is kind of near Cedar Rapids, right?
Cedar Falls,
where University of Northern Iowa is,
I guess. Yeah,
there was like a little earthquake there. Yeah.
Oh, so I think I guess there could be. Yeah, it looks like there's an earthquake in 1895 that hit mostly like Kentucky, Tennessee, and like the border all along, or like basically the Mississippi River from the like the southeast corner of Iowa, but like did drape a little bit into Iowa.
Yeah, interesting.
Although Iowa has at least three major fault zones: the Thurman, Redfield, Plum Creek, and Iowa City, Clinton. What's going on with that? All right, I think then I get to say I'm also a victim because it could have happened to me.
Could have happened to you, yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Oh, is this what you're talking about, the 2018 New Madrid earthquake?
Possibly. 2018?
Oh, what, never mind. This is I am on the hypothetical events fandom Wikipedia. Nice. All right. I don't think this is... What the fuck? What is this?
Shelly's mom told us afterwards, or in like this weekend, she's told us about when she was growing up in Beijing, there being an earthquake there. And she said that they had to like live outside for like a month because
the government,
I don't think it wasn't like everybody's houses fell down, I don't think, but it was more like the government wouldn't let them go back in.
Why?
Which probably seems like the smart
earthquake
thing
inside
to do.
Oh, because of the structural buildings.
Probably, yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, that probably seems like when I heard that, I was like, that probably seems like what they should be telling us or something too. You know,
you're good.
Probably their houses aren't built for it, but yeah, very American thing to just be like, yeah, who cares? No, there's no follow up.
Back to work,
government.
Asshole.
Just go back,
yeah,
go back to work.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing anything for the eclipse? Are you in? Are you anywhere near the P of T out there?
The what's, I think I know what you're talking about, but no, we're not in the no-go zone, or the you should go zone, the blackout. But I think Shelly told me that we're 80% or something like that, which I don't know.
Gotcha.
I'm not really interested in eclipses, to be honest. I thought to myself, maybe I'll do it this time because I was always above that kind of stuff when I was like a kid growing up, and I'd be like, I'm not gonna watch this. I'm gonna stay inside keep watching. You know, Lilo and Stitch or something like that. I'm not going to go watch this eclipse that happens once every 5,000 years or something like that.
Oh, damn. Indianapolis is square in Cleveland. I did see like all of the Dallas, Austin, San Antonio. All right. All of the most annoying people in the United States will be experiencing the eclipse this coming Monday. I remember there was an eclipse in 2017, and I was unemployed at the time, and so I was just like wandering around outside, and we just walked to the park,
mm-hmm,
and it was a cloudy day, and so it just got a little bit darker for a little bit. That was all like I had going for me.
Mm.
Ooh, Newfoundland's getting hit with it a little bit too. Wait, is it not reaching? Oh, because it'll be at night. That's why. Not reaching Europe.
Europe. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
What's the deal again? Okay, so it's the moon gets in front of the sun.
Yes.
Which is a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse?
Whoa.
And I don't really understand what the opposite is because it doesn't
solar
happen.
Eclipse.
This is a solar eclipse.
Okay. A lunar eclipse is just when the moon, the
Earth,
the freaking Earth gets in between the moon and the sun.
Yeah, that makes sense. Which that happens all the time, right? That happens like every 14 days or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Lame.
So it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's nighttime anyway. It's nighttime anyway, dumbass. Don't go looking up at the sky.
I would like to see it. I think astronomy is cool. It's interesting.
Okay, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
And bullies like you are discouraging women like me in STEM. And so, no thank you.
Mm.
But I don't know anything about it. It just seems cool. I've watched some video about it, but I learned about it by just like watching a video, and it was like it did a very good job of like, if you can go see this, you gotta you gotta check it out. I think my brother should be able to have a pretty... He's not too far off from the path or outside of the zone. He's probably the closest of anybody I know who could check it out. Outside of anybody who's in Austin. But anyway, best of luck surviving the eclipse after your earthquake adventure. And yeah, that's going to be it for the podcast today. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week. Goodbye.